Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. This is Ryan Hayes
for Blog Talk Radio.
All right, so I am going to have on my show Kendall Wright, a soccer player for Eastern Side High School. So give me a second, and I got a couple technical difficulties going on. All right.
Give me 1 second, damn it.
All right, we're going to do it this way, so hopefully you guys will be able to hear me. Anyways, I'm going to have Kendall Wright on here, but first I want to be able to kind of weigh in on some things. So people have been sending me emails, and again, let me apologize. This is the first show I'm doing this year. Hadn't done it. And since I think my last one was probably 8 months ago, so I got to work out technical difficulties. Real quick before I weigh in on a few things, guys, first of all, thanks for joining us. I want to thank a sponsor, Cyvation extends base chain amino acids, good for athletes across the board, good for muscle growth, supports recovery, and it replenishes electrolytes. Each serving has 7 grams of BCAAs. There's no carbs, no sugars, and no calories. I use it all the time, and, you know, I can feel it working. Now, here is what I'm going to weigh in on. So people keep asking me about the whole Conor McGregor-Mayweather fight, and I really hadn't weighed in on it. I just really don't care about the fight, but if you're going to ask me who I think is going to win, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be Floyd Mayweather, because it's his sport. Here's the thing, guys, and I feel like I'm professional enough to be able to weigh in on it, because I've done combat sports, and Conor McGregor, first of all, the goal of every athletic commission, Nevada State Athletic Commission, is responsible for the safety and welfare of the fighters. So, essentially, let me tell you how this works. To put a promotion together, you have to have, number one, you got to have two fighters agreeing to fight each other, which is sometimes the hard part. But, so you get the two fighters, and they agree to fight each other. Then you put in a download contract, and you submit this to the athletic commission that's in charge of sanctioning said event. The way it works is they'll take these two athletes, and they would approve them. And the only way a fight would not be approved is if that person that's going to fight the other person is so inept that it could be unsafe for him to go out there and fight. Well, that's how I am looking at this fight, because you got Conor McGregor, who is an MMA fighter, and then you got Floyd Mayweather, who is just a boxer who's been doing this his whole life. This is the only thing he's done, and he has zero losses. I think it's like 45, 41 fights, zero losses, and the only reason why this fight was approved is because it's going to make a lot of money for not only the Nevada State Athletic Commission, but the city of Las Vegas in and of itself and the money it's going to bring to the economy. So I guess at the end of the day, it's like money over safety. And now, you know, I think it's just right ridiculous. Now, so once you got these two fighters, there's a list of medicals that you're going to have to do. They have to turn in blood work. They have to turn in sometimes a CT scan, a dilated eye exam. All that stuff has to be turned in prior to the fight. But anyways, that right there is neither here nor there. I think just my biggest problem is that people are buying into this like crazy, and I never understood. Like, I don't think people are buying it because they know that who's going to win. They're buying it because they want to see what's going to happen. Now, I will tell you this. If two people fight each other, there is a chance for the underdog. If you're in, you have a chance to win. In any competition, the underdog is the most dangerous person because he or she or that team has nothing to lose. So you go out there and you swing for the fences and the fall where they fall. So if I was to predict, number one, here's what I really think. And that's just, this is just me. This is what I really think is that I feel like that fight's set up for Conor McGregor to win. So they can ultimately do another fight for bigger bucks. I mean, the guy's undefeated. Okay, so give him a loss, and then that's talked about. Then they run it back. But if it was a really, truly, like, fought fight and Conor knocks him out, this is how he would knock him out. Number one, Conor doesn't have the win to go 12 rounds. Number two, Floyd's used to fighting more technical boxers, so he's fighting a guy who is now unorthodox, where in boxing – you know, a hook is close to you. Well, Conor throws his a little bit looping, a little bit, like I said, unorthodox. The speed isn't as quick. So it's kind of like an off-speed pitch in baseball. Like you think it's there, and then it's not. So you're kind of trying to duck or slip one way, and then you find yourself slipping into the punch. Okay, you know, that's kind of the way I see it. But anyways, I mean, you guys want to – I'm not paying for it. They're not going to get any of my money. You know, all they're doing at these press conferences is talking about how much money they have and how much money that we don't have. And so anyways, now – some other things I'm going to talk about real quick before I get Kendall on is so last weekend, everybody knows it's a very touchy situation what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. I really hadn't weighed in on this. Sometimes things get a little bit too political to kind of talk about. It's all good. I'll bring it up. First of all, man, I don't really care that a Confederate statue stands up. All right, it is a part of history. It is part of our United States history. I mean, that statue, that guy on that statue hadn't looked at me and called me an N-word. A Confederate flag hadn't called me an N-word. It's what people are making of it. And, you know, for somebody to lose their life over that cause, it's just ridiculous. You know, I don't agree with a guy running his car to a crowd full of protesters. I mean, that just wasn't good. And on his part, man, it's like, is this what our Is this what the world's coming to? Is this what our country is coming to? To have that happen. On the other end, where I do kind of understand, and don't get me wrong, nobody's life should have been lost, but the people that were protesting for the statue or whatever to stay up, they did things the right way. They went and they got the paperwork, filed the paperwork that you need to file with that city to do the protest. And then you had people who wasn't a part of the protest come in, and that's when who were actually against the people protesting, and that's when fights get started. Then you got people showing up, you know, with open carrying weapons. I mean, that stuff, you know, that stuff, even though there's an open carry law in that state, that stuff gets out of hand real quick. And my one thing with protesting, if you're going to protest something and you really, really feel justified for protesting your cause, don't cover your face up. You know, I'd rather, you know, if you let people see you, because see, the last thing that I want is for somebody to protest for something that I'm against and they have their face covered. And then that's the same person that shakes your hand every day and act like they like it. That's the lowest form of person. I mean, it's kind of like somebody who steals from you and you don't know it's them, but they shake your hand every day. You know, I don't like that. You know, it's, you know, it's people out here are crazy. I don't really know. You know, like I said, I really hadn't researched or really made an attempt to educate myself really further on that, you know, other than what I've read. I mean, it's really not, it's touchy, you know, it's touchy for a lot of people. And since I am interviewing a soccer player, this gives me a chance to talk about a buddy of mine from high school. His name's Wells Thompson. We went to R.J. Reynolds High School together. Wells Thompson now is a player for the Carolina RailHawks. He was drafted in a first round or fifth overall 2007 MLS Super Draft by the New England Revolution. So, like I said, I went to high school with this guy, and he has his Wells Thompson soccer camps there in Winston-Salem. If you want information on that, just go to WellsThompsonSoccer.com. Wells Thompson played at the Wake Forest University. Great kid. I say kid because I still think of him as one, but, you know, we're all kids. He's a great guy, Christian guy. You know, he if you need work, you know, in your soccer, you know, he's the guy to do it. I'll be honest, I know nothing about the sport. So I've kind of had to educate myself on it, but I know you guys are tired of hearing me talking. So, you know, we're going to have a brief little pause and we're going to have Kendall Wright come on. So, we're getting ready to start the show. All right, guys, I am here with Kendall Wright. Kendall, you here, buddy?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Sorry about the technical difficulty at the top of the hour. So when I start out doing this with all athletes, just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right, so I'll just start out by saying – Kendall Wright. I go to East Forsyth High School. I've been playing soccer since I was 2 years old, so about started playing recreational at KSA. It's a league that lots of people in Kernersville do. I did for a couple years, and I found a passion for the game, and I just wanted to step up, like, And I've been playing club classic soccer for ever the rest of my life. I played in middle school, seventh, and then my freshman soccer, JV, and my played varsity. I'm in senior year varsity. Other than that, I have a my mom, my dad, I love them. I love her. I have a bunch of great friends. Yeah. That's it.
I got you. Tell me, okay, so tell me a little bit about, like, kind of what got you started. What got you started in soccer? Like, you know, tell me, like, how did that end up happening? Was something your parents just said, hey, let's just go try? Do you remember how that happened?
Yeah, so I started playing T-ball. Like, that's what I first started. And I told my parents that I didn't like baseball because I didn't feel like I ran enough. I like to run. Like, I like running. So they put me in soccer because soccer is a constant game. Like, it doesn't stop until like halftime and stuff. So when they put me in soccer, it was just, like, I started playing, and it just clicked with me. Like, I was pretty good. Like, I liked playing it, and I just played ever since. I used to play flag football and stuff too, but I just run. Like, I've always enjoyed running, and like in soccer, you're always running and stuff, and it just clicked with me, and I've just played ever since.
I'm sorry, Kendall. Tell me a little bit about the positions you play and the jobs of each one of them.
All right, so this year, for my upcoming senior year, we've only played three games so far, and the positions that I have played, I played a center mid, which is the position that I enjoy to play. Like, that's the position I enjoy playing the most. It's a pretty important role for the team. Like, the ball kind of comes through you. You're kind of like connecting the team. Like, the center mid, you have your midfield, and like, which is in between your attack and your defense. So you connect the team. Like, you have to help defend and attack. But the past few games I've been playing right back, which is a defensive position. So right outside back, you can attack, which if you attack at outside back, it's like it helps the team because it gets numbers forward. But then again, you have to make sure that you get back on defense so your team doesn't have less numbers, so like the other team can like counterattack on you. But I'll play anywhere on the field. Wherever the coach needs me to play, I'll go in and play my hardest. That's how I look at it.
Do you consider yourself more of a defensive or offensive oriented kind of player?
Honest, I like to attack, and like scoring goals is always like fun. Everyone likes scoring goals, but personally, I feel like I'm more of a defensive-minded player. Like even when I play center mid, I would play more of a defensive center mid. So I feel like I'm just better at holding up the ball, like defending, and like getting the ball to the players that excel at attack.
So I came and I covered you and your team in the first game at the Forsyth Cup campus of West Forsyth. I know that you guys lost against Reagan and you guys lost against West Forsyth last week. So what do you think went wrong that game, and what have you guys done as a team to correct those mistakes?
All right, coming into this season, I knew we were going to be a young team. We only have, I think, four seniors on the team. So we have a good amount of juniors, and we have some sophomores. We have a good amount of sophomores. So we're just a really young team. And I knew starting the season that would take some getting used to. But, like, the players that we have on our team, I'm very confident with. I know we have a good team. The West and the Reagan game, every single player on the field played their hardest. We just didn't finish in all of our chances. We just gave up some stupid mistakes. But I really feel like our team. I really feel like my team this year is going to show out and prove a lot of people wrong, because we are a young team, so people might not be expecting us to do that well. But I feel like my team has the potential to do very well this year. I honestly do.
So then what are goals that you set for yourself and that your team set moving forward?
Since being on varsity, I have not won conference with the East team yet, and that's really what I wanted. I really want to win conference this year and bring home the conference championship to East, because it's been a while since the soccer team has had that. Three years ago, East had won conference like 2 or 3 years in a row, and it's been like two years since we've won it again, and I really want to bring that back. So I think everyone on the team would agree with me with that. We want to win conference, and you know, a state championship, that's always a goal, but we got to take it one game at a time. So right now it's conference championship, and then after that we'll see what happens.
Well, so you said you guys want to bring home a conference title. What's the toughest team in the conference that you've noticed the last three years, you know, since you've been playing soccer in high school? Who is that one? What's that one team in your conference that kind of gets you every year?
This year we actually switched conferences, so we're not in like the same conference that we were last year. Last year that team was Northwest. Northwest has always been a really good soccer team. They have good players, and that had always been the team that like was our biggest competition. But this year, I'd have to say it's probably going to be Reynolds. I've heard Reynolds is going to be really, really good this year. They've got a bunch of good players that have came and that moved their school, so they're supposedly supposed to be really good. But we haven't played yet. Reagan was really good, but I honestly feel like we can beat Reagan. I feel like we played really good in that game. We just came up short. So I think our biggest competitor this year is going to be Reynolds.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot you guys switched from Metro to Central Piedmont. Should have known that. You know, and this also gives me a chance just to be a plug for Reynolds. You know, hey, I know in the history of Reynolds in soccer, since, you know, I've been a player and, you know, I did a stint coaching there with wrestling, you know, they've always had a good soccer team. You know, they put out guys like Brad Ramsey, who played at Duke University. I mentioned Wells Thompson at the top of the hour, who played at Wake Forest. Austin Lewis, who played on the national championship team that they had back in the day. And they had my boy Luciano Del Bono, who was big on the Olympic developmental circuit that they had. So, I mean, they usually have a good soccer team. So, you know, what are you guys going to do, like, I guess, to prepare, you know, in general for a team like that? You know, what's the strategy for that when that game happens?
We, knowing that we have a lot of young players, with me being a senior, I try to talk to the young players and build their confidence and tell them that they're good enough to compete at this level. Because I remember when I was younger and I was even just being a junior, I was always nervous playing the game, but if you're nervous, it's just gonna make you play worse, to be honest. So I try to build these younger kids, like I try to build their confidence, show them that they're good soccer players, because at the end of the day, if my team goes out there and does the best that they can, I know we can win games. So I just tell the team to work hard and do the best, because at the end of the day, that's all we can do.
Yeah, I think, and what you and I have in common is that I've been a high school athlete, you're a current high school athlete. It's all really the same, so to speak. And it's always, to me, it's always been the initial adrenaline, you know, the pregame and knowing what's at stake when you play a good team. And
yeah.
You know, I think that if you let that get to you mentally, if you just go out there and just play your game,
mm-hmm.
I always tell the kids that you know that I've coached that the environment changes, but the act doesn't. The soccer field still measured the same. The rules are still the same. You're just in a different environment. So they put a few stands on, you know, on the side of the field, and now people are watching. I mean, it's the same thing. And I think athletes, they spend too much time overanalyzing different things and just understand it. It's the same field in practice. It's the same
exactly.
goal. Same, you know, same nets, all measured the same. I think that's really what people have to understand is that the environment changes, but the act doesn't. You kind of understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I got you, 100%. At the end of the day, I feel like my team, we have a lot of players that just work hard and just bust their butt every game, every practice. And at the end of the day, when you're playing, the team that wants it more is going to win. And I really feel like my team wants it, and my team wants to win. My team wants to prove people wrong. So I really do feel like my team is going to step up and show out this year.
So you individually, what are some of your greatest attributes that you can contribute to the team?
I am kind of tall. I'm about 6 foot, so I try to use my height, winning headers, winning balls in the air. I try to use that to my advantage. And with being tall, I kind of have like some big strides. So I would say I'm not the fastest, but I'm kind of quick. I'm not afraid to go into a tackle. I'm not afraid to take a player one on one. I have very good vision. I feel like. When I have the ball, I can feel around me. I can like feel people around me, like see the field. I have time to pick my head up and find feet. And I feel like with me being a defensive minded player, I'm good at winning the ball and getting it back up to my attack. And so we can like get on a counterattack really quick.
You know, it's crazy when you brought up, you know, the strides. Like, when I watched you, one of the things that I did notice is that you did a good job just covering field. Like, you were at one part of the field, and then next thing you know, you were, like, out front and ready for your teammates to get you the ball. It just amazed me, how quick you were. And then the other thing is like, do you ever get tired, man? It's like you never got tired. How do you guys do that? That's a lot of running.
Trust me, I get tired out there, but yeah, I just try not to show it. That's the thing with this team this year. I feel like every single player on the field can bust their butt for the full 80 minutes, and that's a really important factor in a game. I feel like, because at the end of the game, when there's 10 minutes left, the other team might be getting tired, but if your team or even just a couple of your players are busting their butt, still going 100%, they're going to be able to outplay those players because, of course, they're not as tired. But we have workouts over the summer. We run at practice. You have to stay in shape, honestly, because it's a long game. You don't really get a break other than halftime. So you just got to stay in shape and keep running.
So the preparation going into this season, I know that you played club ball. I think it was a Piedmont Triad Football Club. Tell me a little bit about that club and how it's helped you to go into your senior year in high school.
PTFC has honestly made me the player that I am today because it's the club that I've been playing for my entire life, basically. This past year, my team went 11-0, and we got moved up to first division. So that's a real big step for our team because, you know, going up to first division, it's going to be tough, but with the players that we have on this club team, I really feel like we'll be able to do pretty good. But playing club has always just been – it's always been fun for me. Like, I want to go out and win, but at the end of the day, I'm just going out. I'm having fun with the game. I'm playing with like, some of my friends are out there. You're with the team a lot because you play a lot. You have practice, and you make a connection with some of the players. And like this team that I'm on right now, I feel like my whole team has a good connection, and our chemistry is so well. We just play really good together.
So you play club soccer's kind of helped you out. What you guys don't know, listeners, is what I try to do with the local guys that I have on. If, you know, I try to meet up with them, and I met up with Kendall today. We went to Mario's Pizza, talked a little bit about this podcast, and I brought up the question. So, do you want to play soccer at the next level?
Soccer has always been a big part of my life. It's always been something that I enjoy and love to do. But I've always had a goal to get to NC State. Like, that's what I'm working towards. That's where I would like to go to college. But at the end of the day, I don't see myself playing soccer at NC State. But I would rather go to NC State because it's always been a goal of mine than to go to a smaller college and play soccer there. But one of my coaches named Scott Reitenauer, he knows a good amount of people, and he was talking to me about playing in college. And he told me I never really thought about playing in college because I just never really I've never really gotten any offers. I've never talked to any college coaches, but he kind of opened my eyes and he let me know that I was good enough to play at that level. So if I wanted to, he could help me out and maybe like get some coaches to look at me or something. So if I wanted to, maybe, but I would rather just stick to my plan, stick to my goal, and get into NC State and go to that university because that's always what I've wanted to do.
Right. So tell me a little bit. I think you had a little bit of like a grievance with the structure of the way that Forsyth Cup tournament is ran. Tell me a little bit about that.
All right. So I was kind of – This is the second year I've done the Forsyth Cup. It frustrates me. I mean, it's the same for every single team, so it's equal for every team. So there's like I shouldn't like complain about it, but we lost the first game to West, and in that game I really felt like my team was the team that played better. I feel like we played better. We worked hard. We had chances. And we ended up losing that game. And when we lost that game, the best we could place was fifth because we lost one game. So that kind of frustrated me that you lose one game and then boom, you're automatically just dropped down to where you can. Because I feel like some of the teams that finished ahead of us, I honestly feel like my team is better than, not saying they're not good, but I feel like my team is better than a fifth place finish.
Where I'm from, you know, as far as being a wrestling oriented guy, where everything's in a bracket, I'm used to seeing it like, so if you lose your first round match or lose your first round game, you're actually dropped into a consolation bracket where you can finish third. You know, of course, that would be the next thing, is being able to finish third, and then you go on into the consolation rounds. If you lose again, but because you've won a lot of matches in the consolation round, you can actually drop back to a round of like fifth and sixth. So I'm trying to grasp a little bit about how that tournament's ran, because I've never understood how you lose a first round game and then you're dropped into the fifth place kind of finish bracket. I have to just kind of see why that is. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a perfectly good explanation for it. But
they're most definitely probably is a perfectly, like, there probably is a explanation for it. It's a single elimination tournament, so, I mean, that it's a single, like, single, once you lose, you can't win, which is obvious, but I just feel like we lose one game and we're immediately dropped back to where we can only, the best we can finish is fifth, so it's just kind of, like, I feel like my team could have done, I feel like my team should have and could have finished better.
You know, one of the questions that, and I really never asked it, I just always noticed it. Why are soccer games so low scoring?
Actually the second game that we played in the Forsyth Cup, my team, we beat North Forsyth. We beat them 6-5, which is kind of a high scoring game for soccer, but the reason that lots of games are so low scoring, it depends on the team, because you have teams that try to possess the ball, keep the ball, and then they wait for an opening. So, like, they'll possess the ball, they'll keep it. And a lot of the times that's what teams do. They just keep the ball, they possess it until they see a chance to go towards the goal. But then you have some teams that will try to blast the ball up the field and have players run onto it, which is where the games that are really high scoring. But my team, we possess the ball really good. We keep the ball at our feet. We don't force anything. Like, sometimes we'll try to play a ball over the top or something, and, yeah, maybe it doesn't work, or sometimes it will lead to a goal. But I feel like the teams that are best are the teams that play smart, keep the ball at their feet, find, like, they possess the ball, and they don't force it into situations where it just they end up losing it.
You know, watching that soccer game, and I really never watched a lot of soccer in high school, but the it seems to me it's just kind of a hard sport to play. I mean, the foot dexterity that you have to be able to dribble the ball is just amazing. How do you develop that?
It's something that you have to practice. It's not something where you can just get a ball and go out and just be good at it. Like, yeah, if you have speed, that'll help you. Like, there are certain attributes and certain, like, things that can make you better at the game. But at the end of the day, if you don't work, if you don't practice, you're not going to be a good player. So if you just dribbling the ball, having a good touch on the ball, practice. If you don't go out and practice, you're not going to be able to dribble and have a good touch on the ball. It just comes down to how much you want it and how much you want to be better.
You got to simply outwork your competition. So
exactly.
What motivates you to just play this sport? Like, I mean, what motivates you to go out there every night and just run up and down the field and just get tired and sweat and put the strain on your body what motivates you to do that for this sport?
I've always been a very competitive person when it comes to anything, like board games, just playing some pickup soccer, playing some basketball with my friends. I always try to win. Like, I don't like losing. But when it comes to soccer has always been, like, a big part of my life and a special part of my life, to where when I'm on that field, I'm playing to win. Like, it doesn't matter the circumstances. I'm playing to win no matter what. And because I hate losing so much. I hate the feeling of losing. So when I go on the field, I play to win. I put all I can on the field just to win for my team.
So you got a bit – let's say you got a big game that day, and you're going to school. You know, what's your mindset, you know, while you're going from class to class, you know, on game day? Like, what kind of state of mind are you in?
Of course, I'm constantly going to be thinking about that game, but when I'm in school, I try to stay focused on school so I don't get behind. But that game, like, just thinking about that game, it's always in the back of my head. But, like, I just I talk to my friends. I'll talk to my friends at school. We'll talk about the game, talk about what we need to do, how to, like, what we need to do to win, what would help us. You have to put yourself in the right mindset. You have to put yourself in the mindset to where you're going to go out there and work hard. You're going to go out there and do what you need to do. But when I'm in school, I try to stay focused on school. But then right when school ends, it's immediately like I'm game ready. I'm ready to go out there and bust my butt to win the game.
So I guess it almost leads to, like, how do you prepare yourself? Like, mostly, like, you know, the last period's ring, and now you're going to meet up, you know, at the activity bus, or if it's an away game, or whatever it is you guys meet at. What's the preparation like? Are you listening to music? Do you get somewhere by yourself and just kind of get ready? Tell me a little bit about process leading up to the game after the bell is rung for the last period on game day.
Immediately when the bell rings, that's the best part of my day, to be honest, knowing that I have a game coming up. Because I love to play. I'm excited. I'm ready to play. So, being on varsity, we don't play until 7. So, you have a few hours after school. So, I would typically just go home, drink lots of water, maybe eat something light, put on my stomach, and then I just chill out. And then when I would go to the school, I would put my headphones in, get my, like, listen to a bunch of songs that get me in, like, that just get me hype, get me ready for the game. And then when it's time to play, it's time to play, and I come out ready.
What do you listen to? What's your song of choice? What's your songs of choice?
Before a game, when I'm getting let me think. I like listening to Migos. Migos is probably my favorite, like, music group. I just honestly will put in any kind of Migos. Migos get me hype. Migos get me ready to play. Then I also like just maybe like some old Eminem. Eminem gets me hype and ready to play when I'm before game days.
Yeah, you know, I think I remember in high school, it was funny because, like, I listened to a lot of different genres, you know, of music, you know, on my back in the day. Like, you guys now, you guys got your phones and stuff. But back in the day, we had, like, Walkmans. So, you know what a Walkman is?
Yeah, I've heard of this before.
God, you make me feel old. So, a Walkman was basically a device, a handheld device that you then stuck a cassette tape in. Do you know what a cassette tape is? I mean, you guys are really, really, you know, young
know
now.
Right.
You know the cassette tape? Okay. So you stuck a cassette tape in there, you just kinda simply pushed play. So, you know, the song that I want to listen to the most, I would basically put, like, on a blank tape and just repeat it back, so, because there was no, like, automatic repeat. Now, they also had portable CD players, but when you're out there warming up, they tend to skip. So it was more annoying than it was really, you know, it really being able to listen to. So, but I used to listen to a little bit of the Rocky soundtrack, because that was just kind of what kind of got me pumped up. A little bit of old school, like some just 80s music, and, you know, I listen to some rap too. I just always like to hear about what these kids, you know, listen to these days. But I will always say, with or without, you know, that the music, I guess it's good for focus, but I really think sometimes, I mean, you know, hype, people often use the word hype. Well, to me, hype has never, like, won me anything or lost me anything, you know, if you understand what I'm saying. It's just basically actions, you know. Actions, you know, no emotions, you know, because, you know, I think, you know, athletes, they always want to try to find the right emotion. And I was like, it's not emotions that will do anything. You know, anger, happiness, sadness, none of those ever won or lost a competition. You know, it's the action. You know, you know, you're playing your technique the right way. You know, you're going out there giving it everything you got. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you don't get the right outcome, don't let it be because, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how I am with it. So something that I don't have any kind of experience in, and because I just don't, is how is it being an athlete in this, like, social media age, in a sense of now you can, like, you know, if you're playing a team, you know, now you can get on your Instagram or Facebook, and, you know, somebody might call you out, somebody, you know, you may call somebody. How are you able to deal with being an athlete, you know, in this whole social media age?
Social media is a big topic, I feel like, in the world today. I feel like it's gotten maybe too big for the world. But being an athlete and having all these social media accounts, I feel like having the social media accounts, like, because when I'm playing club soccer, I don't really live near a lot of the people that are on my team. But having these social media accounts, it kind of helps you, like, connect with your team, like, and make, like, can, like, you can talk to them, like, get closer with them and stuff. But I try to, like, I'm on social media a lot. Like, personally, I will admit I'm on social media a lot, but I try not to, like, I don't really post a lot. I don't know. I try not to post a lot because I don't feel a need for everyone to see what I'm doing, with, like, when I'm doing it and stuff like that. So, I think on social media sometimes there's a lot of, like, smack talk between teams, like other high school teams, maybe, like, people will, like, talk smack and stuff. But I try not to talk smack and stuff on social media, because at the end of the day, a lot of people can see that, and that's just not something I would want people seeing, because you want to have a good image, and I wouldn't want people, like, seeing stuff about me that I wouldn't want them seeing.
Yeah, and like I said, it just wasn't what we had in high school was just a simple thing called, like, instant messenger, and a lot of times, you know, there would be, like, minor smack talk going on, but, like, just to be able to, you know, post, you know, it's weird because I don't know how I would be having, you know, the whole world, you know, at the palm of my hands, you know, being able to post videos of me smack talking or, you know, or just listen to somebody talking about you. So I just always, you know, wonder how it is for athletes to kind of, you know, handle this stuff these days. So let me ask you this. If somebody wanted to follow you, you know, to see where you end up as far as in soccer, or what accounts are you on, and are you comfortable giving out the little screen name so people can follow you, just because they want to see you succeed, you know, just in life, you know, what are they?
I'll let anybody, like, I'll let people follow me, like, Twitter. I don't really tweet a lot on Twitter, but I do have Twitter, and Twitter and Instagram are really the only, like, things that I, like, social media accounts that I use. I use Snapchat too, but that's more like a messaging app thing. I kind of feel like, but I don't really post a lot on either, but I'm on Twitter and Instagram a lot. I don't really care who follows me because I care who follows me, but, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'll let them see. Like, I don't really care, to be honest.
Yeah, well, like, so what's the, like, what is the name? So, like, if they just want to follow you just simply out of just being a fan and wanting to see you succeed, like, how would they, what's your little, is it like Kendall Wright hashtag this follow me here type deal? What is it?
My Instagram and Twitter are both Kendall, KENDALL 31900. Which is my birthday. I was born 3/19/2000. So the numbers are 31900.
All right. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's always good because there are people out there that really, you know, really want to see somebody like
yeah.
you, you know, who's passionate about what you do, succeed. I don't got a Snapchat. I think it's too personal. That's what I got Twitter for.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a little Uzi Vert song, man. I just want to say that. I think it's called Ease My Social or something, but
Race Your Social.
Yes, something like that. So let me ask you this. If you were to mess up, like, you know, in a game, you know, you see something like you got a wide open shot and you mess up. How do you take failure? Like, how do you take failure at something? Like, when you yourself individually didn't play to the level that you should have played at. How do you deal with failure?
Failure has always, I hate failure. Like, I don't like failing. Like I said, I like winning. I don't like losing. But when you mess up or something in a game, the people that put their head down and let it really get to them are the people that aren't going to play that good the rest of the game. When you mess up in a game and, like, you miss a shot or you let a guy get by you, you have to fight back. You have to just wipe it off your shoulders and just keep playing the game you're playing, because it'll come to you. You can't put your head down and just give up, because that's just not going to help you out at all. When you mess up, you just have to look at it this way. You have to go back in and try to score a goal or something, because at the end of the day, let's say you mess up, you miss a shot, but then you score the game-winning goal, that's what people are going to remember. They're not going to remember you missing that shot. They're going to remember you scoring the game-winning goal. So you can't let it bother you. You can't let it get in your head.
You know, here's the thing. When it I've always noticed, and people always love to tell me, and even my coaches, they always say failure's not an option. And I always say, you know, at the age of 35, you know, I got to think about it, and that's absolutely ridiculous, because failure to me is always an option. But and it's one of the most readily available options at all times, but it's a choice. So, you know, and that's the thing. So, I mean, so when doubt seeps in, you know, you could take either road. But like I said, you know, you could choose to succeed. You could choose to fail or choose to succeed. And I think that if you plant, you know, plant seeds, you know, and let yourself know, you know, that you gotta, you know, keep playing hard, you know, keep doing your technique right, you know, keep doing your all season stuff, doing everything that it takes to succeed, you know, then if you don't do that, you're setting yourself up for failure. That's just kind of, you know, when you got, you know, self-doubt, negative talk, you know, that's the road to failure. But failure is always there. And it's to me, it's okay to recognize it. You know, I'll tell you this, if I could, and I'll just kind of almost end on this, and this is just something that, you know, usually that I tell some kids, is that it's okay to recognize it. And if I can leave you with anything, you know, because I've been on a long journey through athletics, you know, so if I can leave you with anything in this conversation, is that, number one, you know, it's okay, and two, it's normal, and as athletes, especially as men, as male athletes, sometimes we hate to admit, you know, a weakness to ourselves. And, you know, when you're dealing with something that you got a hiccup on, the first thing to do is just acknowledge it and figure out a positive way to deal with it. You know, that's kind of, you know, my advice on failure. Like I said, it's an option, you know, but it with anything, it's a choice.
Exactly.
While I got you, because I know you've kind of looked in it, you know, or you've kind of been keeping up with it. Tell me what you think about this big Mayweather McGregor fight.
Ooh. Personally, I would like to see Conor McGregor go in there and knock the heck out of Floyd Mayweather, to be honest. Because I feel like Floyd Mayweather is only in it for the money. That's just my opinion. Like you were talking about how you think Conor McGregor might win because so they can do another fight. I could honestly see that happen. I feel like that's a pretty good like guess of what's gonna happen. But I feel like Floyd Mayweather will win just because it's his own game. It's the game that. It's the mat, like boxing is his sport, like it's what he does, and obviously he's great at it because he's like 40-something. And so, if you look at it, then Floyd Mayweather obviously should win, and I feel like he will. But I want Conor McGregor to win.
You know, it's crazy because you know people I talk to are like, oh, well, Conor McGregor's got that left hand. Well, in MMA. Because you have a lot more tools that you can use in your arsenal. There's about 12 different ways to set up that left hand. He might fake a kick and throw the left hand. He might fake the other hand and throw the left hand. He might fake a double leg takedown and throw the left hand. Versus in boxing, you can only fake it one way because you can only use two points of striking. So that's the way I look at it. And then you got a guy who spent the last 35 years or whatever of his life just mastering one sport and that one sport only versus a guy in MMA where they had to spend their life having to kind of not really master but get a good expertise on a lot of other sports. So that's what it comes down to for me. You got a guy who's just been – he's just been using his hands the whole time. And they went down an 8-ounce glove, which I don't know – to me, I don't know really who that benefits more. You know, I just know that, you know, that a lot of times, you know, you got contracts and, you know, you got – in those contracts are also what kind of gloves you're gonna use them now. They have to redraw up the contract because now they've agreed to use 8-ounce gloves. But you know, like I said, I think more so like I said, people are tuning in to not see who's going to win, but to see what's going to happen. So you know, I've kind of almost boycotted this fight a little bit because it just you know it's just like a clown show, man, and you know, but people are jumping on that hype train. And one other thing I want to ask your opinion on because I know you watch the news. Tell me what you think about you know all this stuff going on in our country as far as what happened in Charlottesville last weekend.
With me being in high school still, I feel like I don't fully understand exactly what is going on, but I don't see the point in all of it. Like I don't see what all this protesting, I don't see what all this violence is doing for the country. Honestly, all it's doing is it's starting stuff. It's just making stuff worse to me. I feel like I don't understand why. Everyone's equal, and not everyone understands that. But like everyone has the same rights, and like it's just people don't need to use violence to try and prove their point. Like they're using violence and they're hurting other people, like hurting other things to prove their point. When in like at the end of the day, that's just making it worse. I feel like.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's all in what you make of certain symbols, you know, like a Confederate flag. You know, in my life, some of the most helpful people in my life have been people that flown that flag faithfully. And it's weird, you know, but those are the kind of people who actually helped me. Now, because you fly that flag, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, that you're racist. You're normally flying a flag because you know what it really means.
Exactly, exactly.
And the symbolism behind it, and I think people over time they've used that flag as a symbol, of hatred, you know, for the other way, you know, for like the African American race. And it's funny because I actually have one of my good friends, and I'm not going to throw his name off him. One of my good friends, and it's going to be weird when I'm getting ready to say, one of my good friends is racist, and he's a white guy, and he's racist, but he's literally one of my best friends. And I now people are going to ask me, so how is he your friend and he's racist? Well, number one, a true racist person will tell you they're racist. That's what I've always found out. They'll tell you that. But the kind of racist that this guy is like racist to a certain – racist about a certain part, you know, of the black culture, which
yeah.
I'm not a part of, you know, like, and that, so he kind of takes well to me, and that guy's done a lot, you know. If I was stranded, he'd be one of the first guys that I'd call, and he'd be one of the first ones to come get me, you know. So, I mean, I don't want to say that I understand where he's coming from, but then there's racism where you, because there's a certain part about every culture that I don't like that I might be sort of, I think, I don't want to say that there's maybe racism in everybody, but there's prejudice in everybody for sure, which is almost a subsection of racism. But, you know, but there are certain things that I don't like that people of the other race does. But like I said, there are certain things that of my race that people don't like either. But at the end of the day, we're all equal, you know, in the eyes of the person that counts the most. So, you know, I don't understand why we can't all, you know, all come together, you know, and just and make this country, you know, yeah. Positive and safer place. But I mean that, you know, that's to me that's just wishful thinking because. You know, racism will always exist. And to me, racism is existing now, and it's at the highest form, you know, right now, you know, and little, you know, I never thought in a million years that, you know, that somebody would just come and do what they did in Charlottesville. I mean, come on, you know, it's just a terrible situation. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything else and other than somebody just people just straight up just don't like you be, uh-huh. You know, but because you're black. And I mean, that's how it is. And I've dealt with it in my life, you know, a lot, you know, me being a black guy, I've dealt with it before, but I've always handled it in a positive way, as well. But, I tell you what, Kendall, man, I don't want to keep you. Do you have anything else you want to say or you know, anybody that you want to thank, you know, is there anybody you want to thank that's kind of helped you or helped you progress, you know, in this sport?
Yeah, just I'm like on the topic of soccer, I would like to thank all my coaches that have coached me in the past, Taylor Olive, Chris Day, Rustin Thomas, Stansel, Scott Reitenauer, all my coaches that have made me the player that I am today. Like I can't thank them enough, honestly, because like they take time out of their day. They all have families. They take time out of like away from their family to coach me, coach the team, and make us better soccer players. And that really means a lot to me.
Well, that's great, man. Well, I'm gonna let you get off here. And again, man, thanks for being on the show. I'm glad I was able to open up, you know, this the high school sports season, you know, with you, and you know, hopefully, you guys, you know, win your conference. And you know, I'd like not only get you back on here, but a few of your teammates, and
yeah.
You know, we can all talk about it together. But man, I'll see you, man, and like I said, thank you for giving me your time today.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. So I had on the show that was Kendall Wright, plays right back, but he plays a lot of positions on the Eastern Side soccer team. Tell you a little bit about this kid. I met up with him today. We went, you know, we got a bite to eat at Mario's Pizza on the Cloverdale Avenue in West of Salem. Nice kid. Very, very nice kid. You know, I actually coach his first cousin in wrestling, who's also a nice kid. So, you know, both kids really come from great families, but, you know, we just talked about a lot of things, man, and it was great getting to know him. So I wish nothing but like success for this kid in soccer. But, you know, not only that, you know, moving forward in the next chapter of his life, you know, going to NC State, and, you know, then going on to, you know, hopefully, you know, get a degree from NC State. You know, you want good for, you know, a kid like that. And he seemed like he was very, very, very passionate, you know, about what it is that he wanted in life and what it is he wanted out of life. Those are the kind of kids that I like, you know, to bring on my show. You know, he's a member of his youth group at Christ Moravian Church. He did Crosby Scholars. You know, he's been in a lot of leadership clubs. But, you know, if you guys got any, you know, if you know any kid that, you know, would be a good interview for me, I'm trying to do these podcasts once or twice a week. I can't promise you they'll all be on Sunday nights. I can't, you know, but it's going to be somewhere during the week on a random, you know, on the day, but I'll post it before. So if you got anybody that you think that is worthy to come on here and you know, and talk, simply do this. Email accessradiolive@gmail.com. I check it every day. You know, a lot of times people send me topics to talk about, discuss, you know, before the show starts. So feel free to email me there at accessradiolive@gmail.com. Again, this has been an episode of Access Radio Live. This is your host, Ryan Hayes, and we'll see you later.